Okay. Let's briefly restate what we said. We know, we're told by Chazal, that immediately after hearing about the Gzeira, immediately upon hearing the Gzeira, Mordechai went and asked three young boys what they're learning for an indication of what would be. They all responded with auspicious psukim. So he knows that it's going to be fine. So why does he then go and we're put on sackcloth and ashes and go out crying in the street? He already knows it's going to be fine. So Shlomo Brevda answers something very, very profound and very fundamental, which is really very much at the heart of the lesson of Purim. Shlomo Brevda said that Mordechai was a man who heard things on the deeper level, meaning as follows. Hashem makes statements in different ways. And it's up to the person, to the sensitive, to the spiritually sensitive person, to hear those messages, to understand them, and to respond accordingly. Now, to the simple mind, when there is a danger hanging over my head, I have to daven. Why do I have to daven? I have to daven to avert the danger. If I know that there is no danger, then there isn't any need for me to daven right now. And therefore, simple mind, our question is justified. Once Mordechai knew that there actually was no danger, that seems to obviate the need to daven. But the more spiritually sensitive mind hears things a bit deeper. If there is a danger, the problem doesn't begin and end with the fact that there's a danger. If there's a danger, especially one that is specifically targeting the Jewish people, that is a message from Hashem. A message from Hashem, which can mean one of a number of things, but it all has the same implication. It can mean I'm not pleased right now. Or, if we want to take it a step back, it could simply mean I am making a call, I'm making a request for tefillah. I'm making a request for teshuvah. That is inherent in a tzara, in a misfortune that comes upon the Jewish people. Now, the reason Hashem does it this way is because many people aren't spiritually attuned. And therefore, when Hashem decides, I need the Jewish people, Hashem decides there are certain things I'm displeased about with the Jewish people. There are certain things I'm displeased about. How can I get them to improve? Bring a tzara. That wakes people up. They turn to Hashem. They cry out. They improve. But to the simple mind, as soon as the tzara goes away, the need to improve and the need to daven goes away. But that's not how Mordechai thought. Mordechai understood, he saw in the tzara a call of Hashem is demanding tshuva and tefillah. That's what Hashem is demanding. Now, the fact whether the tzara would actually come to pass or whether by next week it'll be gone is irrelevant. Right now, Hashem is delivering a message. And if you know how to read, if you know how to listen to Hashem's language, he heard that message. Hashem is saying, I am right now demanding a very intense program of tshuva and tefillah. And therefore, Mordechai engaged in a very intense program of tshuva and tefillah. The fact that he knew the future did not change the message that he was hearing right now. This is something very fundamental in general. I want to take this to the next level momentarily, but this is something very fundamental in general to understand. And this is a rule, the Rambam lays this down, but it's fundamental, it's a fundamental Torah Hashkafa to understand that when it comes to the fate of the Jewish people, when it comes to the affairs of the Jewish people, there is no chance. I should say that differently. It's not a matter of chance. There isn't anything haphazard. There isn't anything that just happens as a result of political developments, etc., etc. Anything that's going on with the Jewish people is being divinely orchestrated for a reason. Sometimes we understand it, sometimes we don't, but sometimes we do. One of the instances that we do is where a tzara is brought upon the Jewish people. This is something that the Rambam says in very, very strong words. The Rambam says in very strong words at the beginning of Hilchos Taanis. He says, you know, let me see if I can actually quickly pull it up. But he says that when a misfortune comes upon the people, comes upon the tzibur, so they are meant to understand, you know, I'm going to give me a moment. I'm going to actually find it and read it inside. Bear with me for a moment. He says, when a tzara comes upon the tzibur, sorry, I'll have it momentarily. There we go. I'm reading it. I'm reading the Rambam's words. There is a mitzvah saseh from the Torah to cry out and to blow trumpets. This is like kind of like the shofaris. This is what they used to do in public fast days. Okay, it's another form of crying out. Anytime a tzara comes upon the tzibur. Okay, I'm moving a little bit. I'm not reading every word. He adds, and he now goes on and says, "V'davos amidalkei tshuva." This is an aspect of tshuva. When a tzara comes and they cry out about it, everybody will understand that this is the effect of our deeds. And that understanding, that response, is what will cause the tzara to depart. But, he goes on to say, if they do not cry out, but rather they say, okay, look, these things happen. This misfortune is a matter of chance. Happens. And they don't take it as a spiritual call. The Rambam says, Harizu derech achzarius. This is cruelty. And it causes them to become entrenched in their bad ways, meaning there's nothing that can move them. As long as Hashem is operating within Derech HaTeva, he does not have a way to move his people. He doesn't have a way to wake them up. Chalila. And he calls it cruel. Why does he call it cruel? Because of what he continues now and says. Things will only get worse. And this is what the Torah means when it says, "Va'alachtem imi bekeri." Va'alachti gam ani imochem b'chamas keri. The Torah says, when the Torah describes the those very unpleasant parshias, where it describes the curses, and Hashem says, if you don't listen to the Torah, so it says, and if you will go with me bekeri, I will go with you bekeri. Keri means, it's from the term mikra. If you take it with an approach of, okay, look, these things happen. We won't necessarily say that it has spiritual meaning. If I bring upon you a trouble, a misfortune, so that you should do tshuva, if you say that it's keri, I'll show you how bad the keri can get. Keri means chance. If you say that this is just chance, then the chance will get a lot worse. In other words, a fundamental hashkafa is that when the Jewish people are suffering some sort of misfortune, it is a call. It's a call for improvement, and it's a call for tefillah. Now, again, to Mordechai's mind, this was irrespective of what would end up happening. If right now there is a reality of a tzara hanging over the tzibur, this is a divine call for tshuva and tefillah. Now, the fact that it would be okay had to be kept secret. Because if the masses would know it, they might say, oh, very nice, Hashem wants us to daven, but they go about it in a lackadaisical way. This way, what the story of Haman achieved was, Chazal tell us, you know, the Nevi'im came to Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people often got direct calls for tshuva and tefillah. The Nevi'im came to Klal Yisrael with direct calls, but you know what? Often the Nevi'im were ignored. Or even if they weren't ignored, people didn't feel an urgency. You could afford to take it at your own pace. Because I'll say, an amazing statement. G'doy la'asor as tabas, yoyse mi memches Nevi'im. Haman did a greater job, a better job inspiring us to tshuva than the 48 Nevi'im all did. All the admonitions of the Nevi'im, some people listened, some people didn't, sometimes it held, sometimes it didn't hold, and we know that the Nevi'im also faced plenty of opposition. Haman was one of the greatest, this is going to sound surprising, Haman was one of the greatest Kiruv figures in history. He was one of the people who caused one of the greatest tshuva movements that the Jewish people ever had. How? By issuing that decree that all the Jewish people are going to be killed. Now, we have to note, Rav Avigdor Miller would say this very sharply. But he said, the way he said it was like this. I'm going to say it, even though this is not pleasant to say. I'm saying it on his authority. It's not pleasant to hear either. He would often preface and say, people don't like to hear this. He said, why was it that in the days of Haman, it ended up as it did? It ended up as celebration. It ended up with the enemy being hanged instead. Whereas at World War II, it ended up with such devastating tragedy like perhaps we never knew before in our history. That the difference was in the response of the Jewish people. And that difference was the result of who their leadership was. He said the Jewish people, it's true, they had been drifting in the time of Mordechai, but ultimately they accepted his authority. When the Tzara came and he gave the direction as to what the response must be, they applied themselves intensely. And there was a tshuva movement, an unprecedented tshuva movement, 3 days of intense tefillah, introspection, fasting, tshuva. If you've ever been by an inspiring convention, this was one of the most inspiring events of history. Those 3 intense days of fasting where everybody was pulled up together in the shuls, involved in a public tshuva, introspection, tefillah. And when they came out and Haman was dangling. But when the leaders of the Jewish people were not the Chachmei HaTorah, and when the responses were either ignoring it or fighting it politically or whatever it is, but it was not a response of widespread tshuva and tefillah, the results were very different. Rachmana Litzlan. Now coming back to Mordechai, again, he saw in the Gezerah a call for tefillah. Now, on the one hand, we said it can be a call for tshuva. Hashem is not happy with something going on. But on the other hand, it can go further than that. It could be that Hashem is saying there's actually great opportunity here. There's opportunity for a very, very great revelation, for a great moment of closeness. But I want you to push for it. I want you to earn it through your tshuva and tefillah. Purim became a paradigm for our closeness with Hashem. And what triggered it? What triggered it was that Hashem was saying, I want you to give a push now of tshuva and tefillah in order to achieve a very, very great result. How did Hashem prompt that result? By bringing the Tzara of Haman. Again, Mordechai understood this, and therefore he said, this is an opportune time. I don't know exactly what Hashem has in mind. The Jewish people are going to be fine. But Hashem is saying, I want you to engage in intense tshuva and tefillah right now. I don't know what it's leading up to, but this is actually an auspicious time, an opportune time. And in a sense, this is the significance of Tainus Esther preceding Purim. Before we rush into the celebration of Purim, we replay that understanding that fasting and tefillah, fasting and tshuva, which is the point of any fast day, is a medium to very great celebration. It's a medium to very great revelation. So there's more to be said on this, but we'll stop here for tonight. Night, Rabbi Yisai.
Thank you very much.